We're holding on Samaches Amud Aleph, eighth line. We left off, we're trying to work out how we know that there are certain kinds of Jewish women where Kiddushin aren't Tofes. There's also, of course, that Kiddushin aren't Tofes with a Shivcho, with a Goita, that we're going to deal with next piece of Gemara. But right now we're dealing with the third category of our Mishnah, which is women who are an erva to one man, and Kiddushin aren't tofus with him, but they'd be perfectly mutter to somebody else. So we're discussing how, in fact, we know Kiddushin aren't tofus with them. Whether we're asking this, whether it's needed to know this according to everybody, or whether particularly where Rashi had said that the Rashi had implicitly said the question is according to everybody, because even though we know that in such cases the child would be a mamzer, but the Gemara needs to figure out how do we know that the child being a mamzer equals Kiddushin not being tofus between the parents. Tosfos, on the other hand, had said the question is strictly according to Rabbi Yeshua, who says a mamzer is only from Chayve Misses Bastin. So then the question, but there are lots of arayas that are Chayve Koris and Kiddushin aren't tofus, so according to Rabbi Yeshua, there's not necessarily a connection between those two things. So how do we know then that that Kiddushin aren't tofus by all of them? So we went through a whole thing that we learned from the fact we have the list of, ultimately we said, you have the list of arayas in Parshas Achrimos, and it says a hekesh between all of them, ki kol asher yasa mikol ha-te'eva se'eva, and one of them is a chos isha. And we established based on other psukim that achos isha kedushin aren't tofus as long as one's wife is alive. You know, if he divorced her, he's not allowed to marry her sister. And if he does, kedushin aren't tofus. So the same thing, all the other ones as well. So now the Gemara says, Rav Acha bar Yaakov omar asi b'kav chomer miyavama. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says we have a different way of learning that all of the arayas that kedushin aren't tofus with them, with the exception we learned yesterday of a nida. Even though a nida is an erva and there is a chiyuv koris, nevertheless you have a different pasuk that says that that implies that kedushin are still tofus with her. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov omar asi b'kav chomer miyavam. You can make a kav chomer from the case of a yavam who wants to marry out without chalitza or yavam. Or my yavama she belav. Madach with her, it's only a lav. The Torah says, Loi siya eishas ameis hachutzal eishas ar. There's no kores and no misas beistin involved. Loi tapsi ba kedushin. And kedushin are not tofus in her, which is in fact a machloikas in the Gemara in Yevamos, where you have the opinions of Rav and Shmuel over there, where Rav says that kedushin are not tofus, and Shmuel says. And then Shmuel says, we're not sure. Anyway, chayvim missus, chayvim krisus, like koshikin, then how much more so about the other arayas, which are chayvim krisus or missus based in, that kedushin shouldn't be tofus. Now, Tosfos points out, can't you slog that up? You could say that a nida, on the other hand, is chayiv koris, and kedushin are tofus, as we learned before. But Tosfos says this isn't really a kavachomer. This is really what's called gilui milsa ba'alma. This is demonstrating that all the arayas are in a certain category, and therefore we can't really say, okay, but you find that a nida is not in that category because the point is you have all the other ones are. So you can't really slog it up. So therefore, Rav Acha bar Yaakov says that's another way of learning that the arayas that kedushin are not tofus. If even a yavama sheba lav, how much more so the chayvim krisus and missus beistin? Well, the question is the other way around. Hilchi shar chayvi lav and nami. Then in that case, by that logic, shouldn't the same thing apply to all the other chayvi lavin? So, for example, a mamzer or a mamzeres to a ben or bas yisrael, etc. Kedushin shouldn't be tofus with those either, and we know that it is, as our Mishnah had said. And the answer is Amar Papa Chayvei Lavin Behed Yiksi Bahu. When it comes to Chayvei Lavin, you have a clear posik that says the contrary. Namely, the posik describes the case. Kisi Yena LeIsh Shtei Noshim. A man has two wives. Ha'achas Ahuva V'ha'achas Snua. One is loved and one is hated. And the posik goes on to say that if the hated one has his firstborn son, then he still has to give him a double portion, even though he doesn't want to. Now, You have to ask, what does that mean? How do you have someone who's hated by Hashem or somebody who's beloved by Hashem? Meaning, in other words, obviously, there's no reason to think that the father's love or hatred for one of his wives should make a difference as far as the Yerusha for her children, that the Pasuk should have to tell them otherwise. In other words, the Pasuk should have just said, Rashi says, the Pasuk should have just said, he has to recognize the Bechor and give him a double portion. And it doesn't really matter then what the father thinks of the mother. And Tosfos adds, you can't say that it means that the wives themselves are at Tzedekas and at Rishas, because then again, what's the logic? Because the mother is a Rishas, therefore we would have a Hava minute to think that the son would lose out, and therefore the Pasuk has to tell us otherwise. So no, therefore, we're going to understand that the Gemara says, Ahuva means Ahuva b'nisuel, Snua means Snua b'nisuel. That Ahuva and the Snua refer to something as far as their marriage. To begin with, their marriage was beloved by Hashem because there was no Issu in it, versus it's hated by Hashem because it's over on one of his mitzvahs. Now we understand the chiddush of the pasuk. You would think, since the marriage to begin with was flawed, there was some kind of issur in it, then maybe that should affect the child as well, and he shouldn't be considered the bechor, he shouldn't be considered his son for all purposes, and shouldn't receive a double portion. And the pasuk is saying, nevertheless, he does. The Tosfos Rosh actually adds an interesting point as well, since the pasuk says ki siyena leish shtei noshim ha'achas ahuva va'achas snua, and we've been discussing throughout the sugya that the word tiyena, or other words from that shurdish, from the shurdish oya, refer to kiddushin. Then the implication is we're not talking about that the two wives are one's loved and one's hated because one's a tzedekis and one's not. Rather, we have to be talking about the tiyena, the becoming his wife in the first place. In one case was ahuva, and in the other case was snua. V'kamarachmona kisiyena, and yet the pasuk calls it kisiyena, implying that even though it's snua, even though there's something wrong with this marriage, Nevertheless, the child doesn't lose his status as a bechor, and he still receives a double portion. The point being, though, that we see that kiddushin are tofus in that case. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't have said the expression tiyen. It would have used some other expression. So now Rabbi Achav Yaakov says, what we do is, again, we do a kavachomer, or Tosfos says it's really more gili milsa ba'alma, from Yevama, that she's an Issur Lav and Kedushin aren't Tofus. From that, we can learn to all Chrisis and Mrs. based in. The other Chayve Lav, and on the other hand, given this Pasuk, Kisiyena La'ish, then we say that Adraba, they're not included. Now, further on, the Gemara is going to ask about how we know then that it refers to Chayve Lavin. Maybe it refers to Chayve Esa, because we've learned the other day, and we're going to learn more, and when we're going to learn more in the upcoming few blocks and in the next parak, that there are a couple of cases where there's an isur esser for a man to marry a certain woman, not a lav. So how do we know? The pasuk is not talking about those and saying maybe if they were over on an isur esser, then the kiddushin are chal, and we can say tikisiyena l'ishtei noshim, but not by an isur lav. We'll get back to that point soon. But first, before we do that, we have to ask Olur Makiva. Now, what about, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Omar, where he says, and we've learned this before, Ein Kedushin Tofsin B'Chai V'Lavin, he says Kedushin are in fact not effective with Chai V'Lavin. Now, we don't actually find Rabbi Akiva saying that in so many words. What he says is that, we infer it, Tadashi points out, we infer it from a Mishnah in Yevamos, where Rabbi Akiva says something, we also infer it from the fact that before we said Rabbi Akiva says that from Chai V'Lavin you have Mamzerim, which the other Tanoim disagree with, and the rule is we've been saying so far that whenever there's Mamzerus, then Kiddushin are not Tofus. So according to Rabbi Akiva, Kiddushin are not Tofus in Chai V'Lavin. So according to him, Kisiyena b'mayim mukim. So how is he going to understand what is the Kisiyena referring to? So according to him, what is Kisiyena referring to? It can't refer to Chai V'Lavin and saying that that's why the marriage is hated by Hashem, because according to him, Chai V'Lavin, in fact, Kedushin wouldn't be effective. So what is the case that he's referring to? Well, Honicha, The Gemara answers, he would understand that the pasuk is talking about the specific case where a Kohen Gadol marries an almana, which he's not allowed to do, but Rabbi Akiva would agree that in that case, the child is not a mamzer, even though there's an issur lav, uchareb simoi. And that would be like the way Rabbi Simoi understands Rabbi Akiva, which we learned the other day. The Tanya, Rabbi Simoi, Omer, min ha'kol ha'yo Rabbi Akiva oisa mamzer. Rabbi Akiva held that any kind of marriage that is also Rabbi Akiva will say the child is a mamzer, chutz me almon al kohen gadol, with the exception of the almon al kohen gadol, shari omer tola lo yichkalel. The pasuk says that a kohen gadol should not marry an almona, v'lo yichkalel, so he doesn't desecrate his children, which we learn from that. Chilulim oise vein oise mamzerus. All that's accomplished by a kohen gadol marrying an almona, he makes the children a chalol. And he makes her a chalala, but he doesn't make mamzerus. So therefore, so you have one case of a chayve lavin, where Rabbi Akiva says kiddushin or tofus. Very well, then he will understand that the kisiyena leishtei nashim is referring to that a kohen gadol who married two wives, one of whom was mutter to him, and the other was an almana who was not. Nevertheless, the almana's son, even though he's a cholol, is also the bechor and gets a double portion. Well, the Gemara asks, Ulo Rabbi Yeshevav. Now, what about though? You have Rabbi Simoi's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Simoi is saying that Rabbi Akiva is limiting his rule about Mamzerus and about Kedushin not being Tofus to Chayvei Lavin. And even that, he's making an exception for the Almon of the Kohen Gadol. But what about according to Rabbi Yeshevav's understanding of Rabbi Akiva? The Amar Boyu and Saveach al Akiva ben Yosef, he said we should come and yell out about in protest against Akiva ben Yosef. Rabbi Shevav was one of Rabbi Akiva's chaverim, so he can call him by his personal name. Where Rabbi Akiva is saying any case where the bia is also among Jews, then the child is a mamzer. So then according to Rabbi Shevav's understanding, that would mean that also the Amon of the Kohen Gadol is included. Well, so then we have to ask that there's two ways of understanding Rabbi Shevav's statement. If you say about Rabbi Shevav, Ila Pukim, Rabbi Simoi Kaasi, if you're going to say that Rabbi Shevav is coming in reaction to what Rabbi Simoi said. So he's not saying a blanket statement that every single Bia Asura is Osir. He's saying, Rabbi Simoi, you're making an exception for an Amon al Kohen Gadol. There's no such exception. Rabbi Akiva does not agree of such an exception. However, though, Rabbi Yeshevav would implicitly be saying that Rabbi Akiva does agree that when there's only an Isser Esser, like we talked about the other day, for example, a Mitzri, a first generation Mitzri or a Domi Ger marrying a Jewish woman or Gioris marrying a Jewish man, then Shapir, then good, then we can say that even according to Rabbi Yeshevav, Rabbi Akiva is not saying that every single Bia Asura produces a Mamzer, only with the Lav, so he doesn't make the exception for Amon al Kohen Gadol, but he would say Rabbi Akiva agrees when there's an Isser Esser that there's no Mamzerus. Well, very well then, the Pasuk Yisiyena Le'ishtei Nashim can refer to where one of the wives is an Isser Esser, so one of them is a born Jewish woman or a mitzvah already of the third generation, which is considered like a Jewish woman for that purpose, and the other one is a mitzvah Rishona or Shnia or whatever. So then you could say that the pasuk can still be made to work out. Ela itayma de nafshe kamar. But you have another way of understanding Rabbi Shevav. What he's saying when he's arguing against Rabbi Akiva, his statement may not be connected with Rabbi Simoi's at all. Rabbi Akiva is saying that all Isuri Lavin produce Mamzerim. Rabbi Yeshiva was protesting and saying that actually Rabbi Akiva means that all Isurim, even Isuri Eser, produce a Mamzer and Kedushin or Toifus. So if we understand Rabbi Yeshiva that way, B'mai Mukim Law, then how would he understand the Pasuk Kisiyena Le'ishtei Nashim, given that we're saying that it has to mean that one of these wives is an Issur in her marriage, and yet there's Tiyena, and yet there's Kedushin. If you say that Rabbi Shevav understands Rabbi Akiva to mean that every single Issur, even if it's only an Issur Eser, produces a Mamzer, then what is the case of a Snua where there's still Kedushin? And the answer is, So if Rabbi Sheva is saying his own independent statement, not tied to Rabbi Simoi's statement, and therefore he would understand Rabbi Akiva as saying that even Chayva Esa produce a mamzer and kedushin aren't tofus, but my mukim law. So how would he understand the pasuk kisi yenolish? And the answer is b'ula l'koin gadol. He would understand that it's referring to the case where a Kohen Gadol marries a woman who's already had relations. We know the Torah tells us about a Kohen Gadol who isha v'ksuleha yikach. He's required to marry a psula. Implicit in that is a loisa said that he shouldn't marry anybody else, that he shouldn't marry a baula, but it never says lo yikach baula or words to that effect. All it says is he should marry a basula, and from that we infer that he can't marry a baula. So that's like a lava bomb we call esa. So therefore, and Rabbi Akiva would say, and even Rabbi Yeshiva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva would say that's not going to produce a manzer. And the Gemara says Maishna. So Taka, what's the difference? After all, it's also an Esser, and according to Rabbi Yeshiva's understanding, even an Isser Esser it produces a mamzer and kedushin or treifus. The reason is Mishum Dehavalei Esser Shein Shav Bakol, because after all, it's an Esser that does not apply equally to all the Jewish people. The other Essers, the Mitzri or Adomi in the first or second generation, that applies across the board to all Jews. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshiva can understand Rabbi Akiva to be saying that's serious enough that kedushin aren't tofus, etc. But when it comes to a ba'ula, the Kohen Gadol, where A, it's only an esser, and B, it's an esser that applies only to the Kohen Gadol, then even Rabbi Yeshiva would agree that Rabbi Akiva does not consider the child from that to be a mamzer, and kedushin would be tofus. Well, then, therefore, Rabbi Akiva can understand the pasuk shtei noshim about that. A Kohen Gadol has two wives, which, by the way, I mean, a Kohen Gadol, if he has two wives, is going to have to divorce one of them before Yom Kippur, or else he can't do the avodah. But we're not getting into that right now. The point is, if he has two wives, then and one of them is an amot, and one of them is a ba'ul, and one of them was a basula, like it's supposed to be, and the other one is a ba'ula, then you can say one is ahuva and one is snua, because one of them he was not supposed to marry, the ba'ula. Nevertheless, her child, the pasuk is telling us, her child is still a bechor. Nevertheless, kedushin or tofus, because kisiyena, the child is still considered his child for all purposes, and he's a bechor and he gets a double portion. Okay. Well then, now we have to ask back on the chachamim. V'rabbanon, adam muki lo b'chai v'lavin. Well, the chachamim, so what are we saying so far? They're understanding that pasuk kisiyena is referring to the chayve lavin. They would say, again, Chrysos and Mrs. based in, it's true, kedushin aren't tofus, but we learn from what we said before about the yavama, or that chayve lavin, that kedushin are still tofus. Well, the question is, why do they understand the pasuk that way? Adem muki lo b'chayve lavin, instead of saying that pasuk refers to chayve lavin, noikma b'chayve eser. Why instead don't they understand it to be referring to chayve eser, similar to the way Rabbi Akiva does? And then the result would be that chayve lavin kedushin are not tofus. So how do we know that not? The answer is hani chayve eser b'mayin ninhu, because you have to ask what kind of chayve eser are we talking about? Each day in mitzvahs, if to begin with, both of them are mitzvi giyoros from the first or second generation, well then, shtei and snuos, then both of them are snuol lefnei hamakom, and the pasuk is implying that you have to have achas ahuva v'achas snua. Are you going to say v'i achas mitzvis v'achas yisraelis, and if you're going to say one is a mitzvis of the first or second generation and the other one is a regular yisraelis, well, of course, then one would indeed be Ahuva and the other one Snua. The problem with that is Shtei Noshim Am Echad Be'inan. Since the pasuk is Shtei Noshim, then the implication is the two wives have to be similar. They have to both be from one nation. Otherwise, the Plotter didn't have to say the word Shtei Noshim. It could have said something like Kisiyan Ish Isha Ahuva V'Isha Snua or something to that effect. The fact that it says Shtei Noshim implies we have to be talking about two women who have a certain commonality between them, namely that they both come from one nation. And it can't be that, it can't even be the Ritva adds, you can't say that it means that, or the Rashba rather says, you can't say that it means that one of them is a second generation mitzvahs and the other one is a third generation mitzvahs, because a third generation mitzvahs, or a domus for that matter, is allowed already to marry freely into the Jewish people. Therefore, she's already not considered a mitzvahs or an domus anymore. She's considered a full-fledged Jewish woman. And you're back to that she wouldn't be in the same category as a mitzvahs shenis, and therefore you wouldn't say they're from one people. So therefore it can't. So and the only other case of an isu esser you have in a marriage is where a kohen gadol marries a woman who's already had relations before. The problem is, does the pasuk say that if a kohen has two wives? It doesn't. It says that it says if a man has two wives, implying that the pasuk cannot be talking about a case that's specific to a kohen. It has to be talking about something that applies across the board that could potentially happen with any Jew. And therefore, that excludes Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Mitzvahs we already excluded because we said it has to be Shtei Noshim from one nation. So the Chachamim are saying, look, by process of elimination, you have no Isurei Eseh that the Pasuk could be referring to. Therefore, necessarily, the Pasuk has to be referring to Chai V'Lad. V'Rabbi Akiva, so what does Rabbi Akiva answer back to that? He says, listen, Ba'al Korchach, Shav Gilekra, as of necessity, you're going to have to leave the pasuk and explain it that it refers to a ba'ula l'kohen gadol, because da'avad dochek u'muki nafshe, because it's true, it's a doicha to understand the pasuk that way, but the pasuk necessarily requires us to say that way. Given that Rabbi Akiva learns in a different way that kedushin aren't tofus with chayv elavin, and yet we have this pasuk implying that when there's an iser, then kedushin are tofus. So the only alternative is to say that it's referring to, and given fine, Rabbi Akiva says, I agree, it can't be referring to a mitzvah because then that wouldn't be shtei noshim. But fine, of necessity, the pasuk has to be referring to a situation involving a kohen gadol. It says kisiyena l'ishan, not kisiyena l'koyen. Okay, but nevertheless, we have no choice but to understand the pasuk as referring to that specific case, just because otherwise there's nothing else that could possibly be referring to. So Rashi says it could actually. So you have two possibilities. According to one understanding of Rabbi Akiva, it could be referring to the mitzvahs, and we would have to say, even though it says shtei noshim, we're going to have to ignore that and say that it just means two wives, as in dibra Torah koloshim ne'adam, but it doesn't mean that the two wives have to be similar to one another. Or according to Rabbi Yeshiva, you would have to limit it specifically to the case of the ba'ula l'kohen gadol, even though the pasuk says kisiyena l'ish rather than kisiyena l'kohen. It's true. Either way, that would be a doichet. But Rabbi Akiva figures you have no choice, because according to him, that chayv elav and kedushin are not tofus, which he learns elsewhere in a different way, and therefore we have no choice over here but to say that the snua has to be an isur eser of some kind. Okay, so that's that. So that's another way of learning that kedushin are not tofus, are tofus with chayv elavin and with chayv eser, according to the chachamim, and with neither of those, according to Rabbi Akiva, or at least not with all chayv eser. But on the other hand, we said before, krisus and misses based in not, because we learn from a gilui milsa ba'al, either because we said before, because we learn from the fact that there's a hekish between all the arayas. And therefore, we say once we establish that kedushin can't be tofus with achos ishtoi, then they're not tofus with any of the arayas, with the exception we said of a nida. Or we're saying Rav Achaba Yaakov's ways of learning it is that we're learning from a gili milsa ba'alma, where we find by a yivama that kedushin are not tofus, and therefore any place where there's krisus or missus based in, then also kedushin aren't tofus. So okay, that covers the third category of our Mishnah. So far we've covered the first category, which was where there's kedushin and no aveira, then the child's status follows the father. We covered the second one, that where there's kedushin and there is an aveira, then an isulav, for example, then the child follows the status of the pogum, whichever one of the two parents has the lesser yichus. We've now covered the third case where there's no kedushin between this man and this woman, but she would be able to receive kedushin from others, namely arayas, where we said kedushin aren't tofus, and the child is a mamzer. Now we come to the fourth category in the Mishnah, which was, we said, v'chol misha'ein ma'ola v'chola. We said any case where kedushin are impossible with this woman, not with this man, and not with any other man, namely a goita or shifcha. Then we said, v'loda kamoisa, her child has the same status as her. So let's work that out. Shivcha Knanis Minolon. Where do we know this concept? By a Shivcha Knanis first. Omer Avuna, Omer Kro, because the Pasuk says, by the Akeda, where Avraham tells his attendants, Shvulachem Poi Imachamur. You stay here with the donkey, which implies, what does he have to say? Ima chamer means am hadoma lachamer, you the nation that is like a donkey, meaning, in other words, the same way as when a donkey has a baby, you don't say it's this particular mother's baby, but you don't attribute it to the father. Genetically, of course, the donkey comes half from his father, but as far as halacha is concerned, we don't do that. The Gemara elsewhere actually talks about maybe you do have a concept choshishin lezera, maybe we are concerned for it, but in general in halacha we say that not. A father donkey and a baby donkey are not considered to have any relationship in halacha. For example, as far as the halacha of Osev es b'nai, you're not allowed to shech the parent and a child animal on the same day. It would refer to, for example, a mother ox and a baby calf, but not the father. Anyway, mother cow and the baby calf, whatever, but not to the father, the ox. So the same way over here, amad derma lachamer means that we don't. So here, actually, we're focusing more first. Actually, we're not focusing so much first on how we know that that the child follows her. That we're going to deal with soon. Rather, we're focusing how we know Kiddushin aren't Tophus. So that's much more straightforward. Kiddushin are not Tophus with a donkey. Similarly, Kiddushin are not Tophus with an Eved or a Shifa. The Ritva actually points out, now who are these two Naorim that Avraham is talking with? One of them was Eliezer, his faithful servant. So him, we can say, he's an Eved. Where do we get from here a Goy? So the Ritva says, evidently, the second one who was along with him, now Medroshim say the second one was Yishmael. But the Ritva says, our Gemara is evidently not taking that view. And besides which, anyway, why would we call him Naroi? We would call him Bnoi or something like that. So therefore, the Ritva says, evidently, our Gemara is assuming the second person along with Eliezer must have been some Goy. So therefore, we can learn from that both a shivcha, but both when it comes to an eved or shivcha, and when it comes to a goy or goita, that kiddushin aren't tofus because they're compared to a chamor. There is actually a very interesting thing from the Beis Halevi, from Rabbi Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, who gives an explanation why, of all places, is the Torah highlighting this din over here in connection with the Akeda. And he says a very interesting idea. We know that years earlier, Hashem had told Avraham, only Yitzchak is going to be considered your legitimate descendant. Yishmael is not. So, okay, Avraham knew that, and he took that as a given. If Hashem says so, then that's how it is. So now, though, when it came to the Akedah, and Hashem is telling him on the face of it to Shech Yitzchak, so Avraham is thinking to himself, well, you know what? That might weaken my emunah and what Hashem said before. I might start thinking that Yishmael is actually considered my legitimate descendant. So therefore, so the Beis Halevi learns, no, not like the Ritva, that the second one over here was not Yishmael. It was, in fact, Yishmael, like it says in the Pesukim. And Avraham is reinforcing to himself, no, Yishmael is Am HaDoim HaLachamur, and he's not considered my son as far as Hashem is concerned. And therefore, even though I don't understand how it's going to be now, because Yitzchak is going to be shechted, nevertheless, I'm not second-guessing Hashem. So therefore, that's why the Torah highlights it over here, because this is, in effect, Avraham himself reinforcing, by saying Ima Chamer, reinforcing to himself that Yishmael has a different status. Anyway, so that takes care of how we know that Kedushin are not Tophus with an Eved or Shivcha, or with a Goy or Goit. So Ashkechon de la Tapsi bo Kiddushi, fine, so that takes care of how we know Kiddushin are not Tophus for her. Vlada Kemosa Menolon, how do we know that the child of a Shivcha has the status of her father? And how do we know by the case of a Goita? So we're going to do one at a time. Tosfos asks, why do we even need to ask that? I mean, in the Mishnah, we already had the third category, which was Kol Mokum Sheyesh Kiddushin V'yesh Aveira. We said in the second category of the Mishnah, we said that where there is Kiddushin and there's no Aveira, then the child follows the pogrom. So we said, for example, a mamzer marries a Bas Yisrael or vice versa, then the child follows the parent who's a mamzer. So Tosfos says, so why would we think otherwise over here? If we say here that Kiddushin aren't Tophus, why would we not think that the child follows the mother? She's the pogrom compared to the father. The father is a yid, she's a shivcha or a goita. And Tosfos' answer is that no, what it means is, how do we know, not so much how we know that he follows whose status in the sense that he becomes an Eved, how do we know that he's not considered the father's child for any purposes, not, for example, as far as yashining him, for example, as far as becoming tome for him, yibum, etc., which in fact is the case. So we learned back in Yevamos, for example, we said if a man has a child who's a mamzer, nevertheless, that pater is his wife from yibum or chalitza. However, if he has a child from a goiter or a shifcha, then it does not. That child is not considered his child at all, even though biologically it's his child. So now the Tosfos says, that's really the Gemara's question over here. How do we know that not only Vlada Kemoisa, that the child inherits the status of the mother in being an Eved or being a Goy, respectively, but that he's not considered the Jewish father's child at all? And the answer is, Da'amakra, because the Pasuk says, Ha'isha Viladeha Tiyaladeina. The Pasuk describes the case where an Eved Ivri is allowed to have relations with a shifcha knanis, but and the pasuk says when he leaves, then ha'isha v'iladeh tiyaladeinel. The woman and the children belong to the master. The woman being a shifcha knanis, she still belongs to the master, and the children do also because they inherit her status as avodim. So there you go. Then they're considered full avodim, and they don't go free with the father because they're not considered related to the father at all. Okay. No, so that takes care, fine. So now we've taken care of both things as far as a shifcha. We've shown that kedushin are not tofus with a shifcha because imachamur, and we've shown that the child follows her because ha'isha v'iladeha tiyaladeina. What about nochris minolon? How do we know the same din applies to, how do we know the same two dinim apply to a goita? And after all, the Gemara points out elsewhere, you can't say you learn by a mamatzinu from the shivcha, because after all, the shivcha has no yichbus at all. To a certain extent, the child of a shivcha, even though we said he inherits her status as an eved, to a certain extent, he's not related to her at all in halacha. For example, we just said that a shivcha or an eved is ama derma l'chamer. What would happen, for example, if a shivcha is freed and her son is freed as well? La halacha, they would actually be allowed to marry one another, either mother and son, but it doesn't matter. They're considered like behemoths, in the same way with behemoths, there's no problem mating one with the other, regardless of how genetically they're related, the same thing it would be over here. So the Gemara elsewhere explains, we can't say, therefore, that once you know from a shivcha, you can learn from it to a goy, because a goy, after all, does have yichus to his parents. Earlier in the Masechta, we learned, for example, that a goy yaushens his father min haTorah, based on various psukim. So a goy is considered to have more of a relationship with his biological parents. So then, that being the case, we need to know how, nevertheless, kedushin are not tofus with her, and the child inherits the mother's status. So the answer is, the Gemara says, omakra, because the pasuk says, "Velois ischatin bam," you should not marry. The pasuk says, "Omakra lois ischatin bam." The pasuk says, you should not marry them. Now, that implies not only that you're not allowed to, but also the whole concept of marriage does not apply with a goy. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos has some problems with that. Adrabba, the Gemara in Yevamos learns from that it means that even after somebody from the seven nations that the Pasuk is referring in context to the seven nations of Canaan, and it's saying that even after they become a ger, you're not allowed to marry them. So Tosfos says we're not really learning from the words lois ischat en bam. We're rather learning from the continuation of the Pasuk. Where the pasuk says you're not allowed to take his daughter in marriage for your son, and you're not allowed to give your daughter in marriage to them. So the lois sitin and lois sikach implies that there's no kicha, there's no kiddushin possible with them. And Tosfos goes on to point out, you could say one of these psukim is telling us the chatchila and the other one b'diavad, one telling us that you're not allowed to do that kiddushin in the first place, and the other one saying that even if you did, it's ineffective. So therefore, so according to Tosfos, that's how we learn it. So that's how we learn kedushin are not tofus with a goiter. Well, the Gemara says ashkachna d'lo tafsi bo kedushi. Okay, so now we found a proof that kedushin are not tofus between a Jewish man and a goiter. Vlada kamosa menalon. Where do we get that her child follows her status and is considered a goy? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai, De Amar Kra, because the pasuk continues that if you allow your son to marry a goita, Ki Yosiris Bincha Me'achrai. The pasuk goes on to say that he will remove your son from following me. So the Gemara brings the limud, and then we're going to discuss Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim have several different ways of understanding what the limud is. But we learn from that pasuk, bincha bami Yisraelis, kore bincha, your child who comes from a Jewish woman, even if the father is a goy, is called your son. Ve'ein bincha bami na'avedes kechavim, kore bincha, but the one who comes, your descendant who comes from a goyta, is not considered your son, ela b'na, rather he's considered her son. Now, what is the limud over here? Rashi explains like this. The pasuk says that you can't have your daughter marry a goy's son, and you can't have his daughter marry your son. And then the pasuk ki yosiris bincha. Now, why does it say specifically bincha? Why not ki yosiris bitcha? So therefore, what it means is that the bincha refers over here to your grandson. So it's saying that if a goy marries your daughter, the problem is ki yosir, that father, that goyish father, will remove your son, meaning actually your grandson, from serving Hashem. But it doesn't say ki sasir es bincha. So therefore, that implies that when it's a goyish father and a Jewish mother, the child is a Jew, and then there's the concern that the father, the goyish father, is going to dissuade him from serving Hashem. Namely, he's going to tell him, be like me and come worship Avodah Zarah and whatever. And the pasuk is concerned about that because you're going to have a Jewish boy who is being taught to worship Avodah Zarah. But the pasuk is not saying, ki sosiris bincha. So Rashi learns the limud the other way around. If the mother is a goita and the father is a yid, the child is not a yid anyway. So therefore, you can't say, ki yosir. How is he going to be removed from serving Hashem? He's anyway a goy and he's anyway not serving Hashem. So therefore, from that, we can learn then that there's a difference between whether the father is a Jew or the mother is a Jew. That's how Rashi learned the limud. And Rishonim explain within what Rashi is saying that we would say that the Ramban explains that why don't we say according to Rashi that bincha refers to your own son? You could say because your own son is a grown-up. He's less likely to be convinced to do something different than he grew up doing until now. So the concern is more about your grandchild. And since the pasuk phrases it ki yosir rather than ki sosir, then we learn from that that it's that where the father is a goy, the child is still a Jew, but where the mother is a goy, then the child is not. That's how Rashi learns the limud. Tosfos has some questions about that. And so Tosfos explains differently. First of all, Tosfos says the word bincha can in fact mean your son, the one who might hypothetically marry the goyta. And the point is, ki yosir would refer to the father-in-law, the goyish father-in-law, is going to remove your son from serving Hashem. Not like the Ramban says in Rashi, that the son is a grown-up and he won't, and he'll continue to do as he said before, as he was doing before. No, his goyish father-in-law is going to convince him to worship Avodah Zarah. Now, why does the pasuk in that case say bincha? Why doesn't it say zaracha or something like that, which would refer to the descendants as well? Because it stops there. If the man is a Jew and he marries a goita, the children are anyway goyim. So there's no sense in talking about yosir as zaracha. There's no zaracha because they're not considered your children. So that's another way of learning. So that's another way of learning it. And then Tosfos says another way of understanding is ki yosir would in fact refer to the case where it's a goyish woman and a Jewish man. But what we mean is again ki yosir can refer to the goyish father of the woman. And what it means is he will, ki yosir es bincha, means that he'll remove that your son, what would have been your son, from this relationship, is not considered your son because he's removed from being part of the Jewish people. Meaning, in other words, in effect, the pasuk is saying that you have three generations over here. You have the goyish father-in-law, you have his daughter who marries a Jew, and their child, the pasuk is saying, he would have been bincha, like this, you have a son's son, and he would have been considered bincha, but now he's kiyosu, he's removed from the Jewish people entirely because the chain has been the chain is broken and he's not considered a yid at all. Ki yosir would not mean like in previous explanations that he removes him from serving Hashem, as in he's a yid, but now he's being convinced to worship Avodah Zarah. Rather, ki yosir means he's being removed from the Jewish people entirely. And in fact, the Rambam learns much the same way. The Rambam learns the Limud in much the same way. He says that the Rambam has an expression. You're going to think. He says that this matter of a marriage between a Jew and a goy, how bad can it be? There's no specific missus based in with it. Even kores in it is only medivrei kabbalah. We learn from words of the neviim rather than the psukim. Nevertheless, the Rambam says it's a terrible thing because, as the pasuk is saying over here, ki yosir removes the child from bechlal being a yid. At least if it was mamzer or something like that, the child would be a yid, albeit a mamzer, but now he's being removed from being a yid altogether. So we have three different ways of understanding the Limud and the Gemara, but that's how it is then. So when we always say that the Yiddishkeit follows the mother, that's based on this Gemara over here. Okay. So Omar Ravina, so Ravina says, you can learn from that. Shmamina ben bitcha abamina oved kachavim kori bincha. You can learn from that, therefore, that the son of your daughter who comes from a goy is considered your son, or rather your grandson. Meaning, in other words, that if a yid's daughter marries a goy, it's also to do. Nevertheless, the child is still considered a Jew, and therefore he's still considered bincha. In other words, again, Rashi says, so according to Rashi, the vort is that because the pasuk is not, the pasuk is only addressing the case of Bincha, who was, because the pasuk is addressing only the case where the mother was a yid, but not the case where the father was a yid, and saying ki yosir, that implies that in the first case the child is a yid, whereas in the second case the father was a in the second case the child is a goy, and therefore because the mother was a goy, and therefore the mother was a goita, and therefore there's no ki yosir. And again, according to Tosfos, the two explanations, we're going to explain the answer, and we're going to explain what Ravina is saying similarly. One of the points that Tosfos had against Rashi's explanation is, according to Rashi's explanation, Ravina is not really adding anything to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan had said that only if the child is from a Jewish mother is he a Jew, and if he's from a goyish mother, then he's a goy. So what is Ravina adding? That's why Tosfos prefers one of their other explanations, according to which Ravina is telling us a chiddush that we didn't realize before. We said before that the child of a goyish mother is considered a goy. We didn't say explicitly that if the mother is Jewish, then the child is Jewish. Now Ravina is saying we derive that by looking more closely at the pasuk. Well, the Gemara asks, "Name a kasava Ravina over kachavim ve'evad abba abas Yisrael havlad mamzer." Does that mean, though, that Ravina wants to tell us that if the father is a goy or an evad and the mother is a bas Yisrael, that the child will be a mamzer? Why would we say that he's a mamzer? In other words, we would say if we said he follows his goyish father, then we would say that he's considered a goy, and if he becomes a ger, then he's regularly mutter lover bakahol. Now, if you're telling me, Ravina, that he follows his mother, but this is an example of yesh avera, and we said before in the Mishnah in the third category where ain kedushin v'yesh avera, where there's no kedushin possible because, for example, arayas, and there is an avera, then the child is a mamzer. Based on Ravina's rule over here, shouldn't we say the same thing is true over here? In fact, actually, there's a different Gemara where in Yevamos where the Girsa is that Rashi says over here we have to be Gerdes Havlad Mamzer, but there is actually a Gemara in Yevamos where all Gemaras instead have the Girsa Havlad Kosher. Is Ravina coming to imply that the child is actually kosher? So the answer is not necessarily Nihida Kosher Lehavi Mamzer Lehavi. Actually, what it is the child won't be full fledged kosher, but he won't be a Mamzer either. Posel Mikri. And be considered posel. So, for example, if a Jewish mother and a goyish father have a daughter, that daughter is also to marry a kohen. But other than that, and so it's considered posel, but it's not considered mamzer or kosher or anything like that.
If the married kohen would be alive.
So it would be alive, yeah, because she'd be considered bepashtus a zoyna or a halala or something. There is, by the way, a very interesting shitta of the Maharit al Ghazi, a famous early Achron, where he says that actually, in this case over here, of a Jewish mother and a goyish father, he says it actually depends how the child ends up being raised. If he ends up being raised as a Yid, then he's a Yid. He learns that actually, he learns that actually based on other Gemaras and things, that if the child is raised as a Goy, then he actually becomes a Goy. And he uses that to explain, and it's an interesting shita. We don't follow it la'alocha. He uses it to explain the famous case of Daryavish. Now, Daryavish was the son of Achashverosh and Esther. His mother is a Jewish woman, Esther. So how is it that he's considered a Goy? And we find clearly in other Gemaras where Daryavish is assumed to be a Goy. So he says, based on that, you know, he was raised in the palace. He was raised as a child of Achashverosh. The Pashtus' mother didn't manage to have very much input on his chinuch. So therefore, he learns that's why... So again, the halacha does not follow that. The halacha is that a child in that case is considered a full-fledged yid. How it is that Daryavish is considered a goy is a whole other question. But one answer is based on, I think, on a zoyar or something, that it wasn't hers. It wasn't her herself. That every time it came to being with Achashverosh, she actually sent a shed instead of her. Yeah, whatever. One interesting nafkamina that the poskim achronim do talk about is, what about, can you maul such a baby on Shabbos? Given that you do have certain opinions that say that maybe the child is not considered a yid, for example, the Maharit Al-Ghazi, maybe at least the bris of such a baby should not take place on Shabbos. The Maharam Sheikh discusses this in one of his Truvas. Lamaisa, again, we're not noyig like that either. Lamaisa, as far as I know, that unfortunately you have many such cases where of intermarriages, but where the child is considered a yid, and as far as I know, they do the bris on Shabbos even in such a case. Okay, the Gemara goes back. So now, what are we saying? We said that how do we know that kiddushin are not toifus between a Jew and a goita is because, or the other way around, between a goy and a Jewish woman, because we said v'lo tischat en bon. The question is, hahu b'shiva goyim ksiv? So that pasuk applies to the seven nations of Canaan. Shar umas menolon. How do we know these two dinim by them also, that kiddushin are not toifus and that the child follows them? So the Gemara answers, Omakrok Yosiris Bincha, because the pasuk continues, they will remove your son from following me, according to the various explanations that we just said what that means. It means that your grandson, who is a Yid, is going to be convinced to worship Avodah Zarah, or it means that your son himself is going to be convinced by his father-in-law to worship Avodah Zarah, or it means that your what would have been your grandson has been removed from being part of the Jewish people. Anyway, but it says that expression, therefore the rabbis call him a Sirim, so therefore it comes to include with those words, Ki Yosir comes to include anybody who would remove the child or the parent or whatever from serving Hashem. So therefore it applies not only to the seven nations of Canaan, it applies to all other nations as well, because all of them have that in common. They're all not part of the Jewish people, and they all, at least in those times, worship Avodah Zarah. Well, the Gemara asked, Tanichal Rav Shimon, the Dorish Taima Dekra. Well, that works out according to Rav Shimon, where Rav Shimon has a general rule where he darshins the reason behind a mitzvah. Now we find, for example, Rashi says, you have a mitzvah in the Torah of a sachbel beged almona. You're not allowed to take as a mashkan the garment of an almona. Now, why is that? So Rav Shimon explains, because we're talking over here specifically about a poor almona. We know the Torah says if you take a mashkin from a poor person, you have to return it to him every morning or every evening, depending whether it's something he needs by day or by night. Yeah. If it's an almona, every day you're going to be visiting her to pick up the mashkin, and every day you're going to drop it off, and pretty soon there's going to be a shame rap. People are going to start spreading rumors. So he says, on the other hand, if the almona is rich and you don't have to return the mashkin every day, then there's no problem with it. So we see that he's Dorish Taima Dekra, and we have other examples of it throughout Shas. So now, Reb Shimon, therefore, is going to say, given that the reason behind the mitzvah is because there's going to be a problem of there's going to be a problem of the child being drawn to Avodah Zarah, or whatever the other explanations were, then you can say, Reb Shimon would say the same thing applies not only to the seven nations, but also to everybody else. El Rabban and my timer, but according to the Chachamim, what's the reason? They're not Darshin and Taima Dekra. There is actually an interesting explanation. Now, Rashi and Tosfos explain the Gemara's question in that way, that according to Reb Shimon, it works out well that he would understand it refers to all the other nations, but the question is, how do the Chachamim say, realize that it refers to all the other nations rather than limited to just the seven nations, given that not Darshin and Taima Dekra? The Ran actually says that the other way around, the Gemara may be asking, according to Reb Shimon, who Dorish Taima Dekra, you can say, you know what, the seven nations are much more addicted to Avodah Zarah than the other nations.
That's why we have to be wicked boys.
And you could say, So, I got that backwards. Rashi and Tosfos themselves, Rashi and Tosfos explain that the Gemara's question is, according to Rav Shimon, you could say like this, you don't need to say Ki Yosir in the first place, because according to him, once the Torah says, Lois Hischatin Bam, automatically, we're going to be looking for the reason behind the mitzvah, and we're going to find it. And then, so when it says Ki Yosir, then Rav Shimon can say it includes all the other nations as well. But according to the Chachamim, maybe you would say, Fakir, the seven nations themselves are very strongly addicted to Avodah Zarah, so therefore maybe the Torah is answering only with them and saying Kedushin aren't Tofus with them and the child follows them. How do we know? It applies to other nations as well. So now the Ran explains the question the other way around. Rav Shimon is saying, given that the Pasuk says a reason and he's Darshin and Taimi Dekra, so therefore he can say it applies to all the other nations. But according to the Chachamim, how do we know that it applies to all the other nations and not just to the seven? So the answer is Omar Kura, because you have a different pasuk. The pasuk talks about the Yifas Toya, the Acha Ken Tove Eleo Valtav Gemer. Afterwards, after she's this Gaier, then you can come to her and have relations with her, implying Mekladim Ikra LeTaksiba Kedushin, implying that up until that point Kedushin would not have been Tofus with her because she's a Goita. And since that pasuk is not referring to the seven nations, because Adarab, the seven nations, you're not allowed Lois Chayak on the Shama. You can't have a Shavisa Shivya, you're taking a captive. So therefore we see that by other nations as well, then Kedushin are not Tofus as long as she's a Goita. Udiu and the Masechta, by the way, we had the Machlok, the Sudashi, and Tosfos. Is it that he's allowed the first relation with her while she's still a Goita, and afterwards, though, if he wants to keep her as his wife, he has to be Megaya her, or is it that even the first relations are not allowed until she's Misgaya? Either way, when the Pasuk says, then that implies she can only be your wife after she becomes a Giyotis, because until then, Kedushin are not going to be Tosfos. Okay, well, the Gemara says, Ashkechon deloy tafsi ba kedushin. Fine, so that takes care of how we know that kedushin are not tofus with her. Vladik mosim anolon. How do we know that her child follows her status and is a goy, given that we said before the pasuk lois ischatin is referring to the seven nations? The answer is, Omakro ki siyen al ishvi yodu loy. Because the pasuk says, again, by the case of the two wives and the bechor being from the hated one, the pasuk says that if a man has two wives and the yolduloy and they bear to him children, so therefore kol heichad the kurin be kisiyena kurin be the yolduloy. Whenever there's a kisiyena, wherever kiddushin on tofes, then the child is considered his child. But if kiddushin are not Shayach at all. Now, we don't mean by an erva with kedushin or shayach with somebody else. We mean where there's no kisiyena possible with this woman at all because she's a goita or a shifta, and we already established kedushin are not tofus for them, then we don't say yolduloy, the child that they bear, is not considered his child. So therefore, that's how we know that Vladika Moise, even by other nations.
So in other words, the child is like the mother.
A goita, yeah. So the Gemara asks Yochi Shifcha Nami. Well, in that case, we could learn from the Shif. We could learn that for the Shifcha as well. So we don't need the pasuk that we said at the top of the Amud Ha'isha Biladeh Tiyaladeh Neha, that we learned that in Shifcha Knanis and her children belong to her master. Now that we have the Kisiyen of Yoduloi, then we have that as the source for this din.
But what
are we doing with that other pasuk?
Well, Shifcha has to keep certain mitzvahs. She's already half of
it. Nevertheless, though, you would have to ask, though, still, how do we know that still there's no kisiyena? You still can't do kedushin with her. Kedushin are not shayach with a Shifcha. So therefore, you should have the same rule.
Same pasuk.
So what do you need? A different pasuk. So the Gemara says, Enochanami, you're right. You can learn the din that a Shifcha's child is like her. You can learn from this pasuk kisiyena of Yoldulai. So what are you doing with that other pasuk? So like this, we use it to teach a different din that we say in a braisa. Suppose a man says to his shifcha, she's already pregnant, and he says, I'm making you a baschurin, I'm giving you a get shichur, but I want your child to remain an eved. What happens? Have Vlad Kamosa divid of Yosagvili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says that no, that won't work. The child is going to be freed just like her, because her isha b'yaladeh tiyaladeneh. Only when she belongs to the master do the children. He or she's freed because he's giving her a get shechera. Therefore, automatically the children follow her.
Even though this is the condition before giving her.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Nevertheless, the condition is ineffective based on the pasuk. Bacham, I mean, Dvar of Kayam. Nacham say that what he said is valid. Mishum shenema her isha b'yaladeh tiyaladeneh. So the Gemara asks, my Talmud, how you're learning from that pasuk that it means adrabba, that pasuk goes against what the chachamim are saying. Amar Rava adrab Yosi agrivi. So Rava says that pasuk is not coming. It's not the chachamim explaining how they know their din. Fakir, that's Rav Yosi agrivi explaining how I know that din. He's saying because since the pasuk says that you should be ladel to your ladinel, it's impossible to have that the mother should be a shivcha and that the mother should be a baschur and the child be an eved. Because he's going to follow her status.
Uh-oh.
So the Chachamim are going to say that's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk is the pasuk is telling us about the general rule that a child of a shivcha follows her status. So they're going to learn some other din from it. But they're saying that like you said, since you have a tanai over here, then fine. Kol tanai shemam and kayim, and therefore it would work, and therefore she'd be a bas chorin and the child would be an eved. Rabbi Yosi Agmili, who disagrees, he's going to learn from this pasuk that you shall be ladel tia ladena. That the child always follows the mother, and therefore it's impossible to have her be a shivcha and him her be a ben her be a baschur and him be a shivcha. Yeah. Okay. I think let's start the Mishnah and some of the Gemara on it because we have big blot coming up the next few days, so we might as well.
Gadda or regular?
Some of it is a gadda, but even that, yeah, some of it is regular. So Mishnah says, "Reb Taufin Omi Yechulin Mamzedim Litar." Reb Taifun says, you know what, even though we said before that a mamzer's child is always going to follow him, and that's true, whether a mamzer or a mamzeres, we said, because you always hold a chachar pogum, but Reb Taifun says there is a way in which a mamzer can make his descendants be tohor. Kate said, mamzer shenosa shivcha, if he marries a shivcha, which usually a ben yisrael is not allowed to marry a shivcha, so there is some discussion in Rishonim how this is. One point is the Rambam makes a point, for example, since the issur to marry a shivcha is primarily only drabbanan, then in this case, for the sake of the mamzer to be able to entire his children, then the chum allowed. And there are different other explanations in Rishonim how it would work exactly. Anyway, have Vlad Eved, the child is considered an Eved, because again, like we just said, he follows his mother. Shikrarai, now if he frees that child, Nimsa ben Chorin, then the child is a ben Chorin, and he doesn't continue to have the status of mamzer. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer Omar is an Eved Mamzer. Rabbi Eliezer says you haven't accomplished anything. All you have is a kid who's both an Eved and a Mamzer, right. And even if you free him, he still retains the status of a Mamzer. So the Gemara asks, Reb Taifun lachatchila kamer or di Eved kamer? When Reb Taifun says that a Mamzer marries a Shifcha, does he mean lachatchila he's allowed to do that? Or do we mean he's not allowed to do that? But for the Eved, we would say that if he did it, then it works. In other words, the question actually says, boils down to, the Pasuk, how do we know that you're not allowed to marry a Shifcha? Because the Pasuk says, lo yekodesh b'vnei Yisrael, v'lo yekdesha b'vnei Yisrael. A kodesh or a kadesha means somebody who's kind of reserved for znus. So like a prostitute or something like that. So among others, it means, since by an Eved or a Shifcha, Kedushin aren't Tofus, like we just said before, it comes out every time a Jewish man or woman would have relations with them, it's considered Znus, and therefore the Pasuk would be saying you're not allowed to marry them. You're not allowed to set up a relationship which is going to be Znus. So now the question is then, so we would say though, maybe that only applies to Yisrael Kosher, maybe to begin with that Pasuk does not apply to a Mamzer, or maybe not. Maybe he is after all a Yisrael. So Toshma, so we can prove like this. Omer Lord of Tyrephin, the Chachamim answered back Rab Tyrephin, you think that your idea is going to always help? Doesn't really. All you've accomplished is you've been metaher. According to your mechanism, that'll work for any boys that are born to them. It's not going to work for any girls that are born to them. Now, why is that? Rashi says the Gemara at this point is assuming the boys are able to go someplace where nobody knows who they are. It's not so much a matter of, in other words, the Gemara is assuming at this point, not so much a matter of that the boys, that their boys inherit their father's, their mother's status exclusively. We could say, maybe like Rabbi Eliezer says, they would have a status of Mamzerus. However, they have the advantage they can always travel someplace else. Say, I'm just an Eved and I want to marry a Shifcha. As opposed to, or even the mamzer himself. What we mean is, in other words, that a woman doesn't usually travel to someplace else and try to hide who she is and get married. So therefore, it sounds like Rebbe Taifun is only saying b'di'evin, because if it was lachatchila, why shouldn't a mamzeres be able to do the same thing, marry an eved, and the children will be avodim, etc. So therefore, doesn't that show that Rebbe Taifun is only talking about b'di'evin? If the mamzer chooses to pretend that he's not a mamzer, but rather than an eved, then he'll be able to marry a shifra. A woman, since she doesn't usually travel to other places, is not going to have that option. So
we're marrying Everton. How does it
make sense? So wait. Right now, the Gemara is assuming that whether he marries a Shifcha or whether she marries an Evet, the Gemara is assuming Reb Tarfon would have said that either way it helps clean up the children. And the question is a matter of practicality. A man can more easily do that because he can go someplace else where nobody knows where he is and claim that he's an Evet and married a Shifcha, whereas the woman cannot. That would imply that what Typhon is saying is only allowed by the Eben. Lachatchila, if the Mamzer were to come to us and say, I want to marry a Shifcha, we would tell him, I'm sorry, you're a Yisrael after all, you're not allowed to. And then in that case, then a woman would say, in that case, well, I have no choice. I have to stay put. I'm a woman. I'm not going to be traveling someplace far away and pretend to be somebody I'm not. Whereas the Mamzer, they're the man who would might well do that. So doesn't that show what Typhon is saying only by the Eben? The answer is no. So the question is, if Reb Tarfon is saying lachatchila mamzeras nami tinasav la'abda, then why shouldn't a mamzeras by the same token lachatchila be able to marry an eved? And the answer is that's not the problem. The problem is eved ein lechayis. The eved, his children are not miyuchas after him. So therefore, it's not the matter of lachatchila or b'di'eved. If a mamzeras marries an eved, you haven't accomplished anything because the children are not considered the Eved's Avodim. They're considered exclusively her children. Well, then they inherit her status as a Mamzeres. That's what the Chachamim mean to the Typhon. Your idea is going to help boys, but not girls. He doesn't mean the Mamzer or the Mamzeres themselves, the first generation. He's talking about a later generation. He's saying that you think that your advice is going to help that now all of the Mamzer's children are going to be kosher, love or bakal. It only works by a Mamzer. It's not going to work by a Mamzeres marrying an Eved, because, and for that matter, it's not going to work by the Mamzeres marrying an Eved because the children are going to remain Mamzer. So we can't prove anything from that, whether Reb Tarfon is saying Lachatchila or b'di Eved. So the Gemara says, Toshma, we'll bring another proof. From a case, Reb Simloi's host was a mamzer. Ushbezinche means like the innkeeper. You have the chachamim would go out of town to learn Torah. They'd be staying or they'd be boarding by balabatim in town. This particular balabas who was hosting Reb Simloi was a mamzer. So Reb Simloi says to him, you know, Iyak de Mosach, it's too bad I didn't know you earlier. If I had known you before you got married, Tiyartinu Levnach, I would have been able to tell you a way that, based on what Reb Tarfon is saying, that you could make your children Tahar. Namely, you marry a Shifcha, etc. So, Iyamet B'Shlem L'Chatchila, if you say that Reb Tarfon is allowing them to do this even L'Chatchila, Shapir, well then we're good. Reb Simloi is saying, you know what, even L'Chatchila you could do that. I'm a d'eved, my nihu. But if he says that you could only do it with d'eved, then what were you doing? Demansiv like etza, my nihu. Then what would it be? Reb Simloi certainly wouldn't be saying I would have given you advice to do an aveda and to do something which is going to work only with d'eved. So doesn't that show that Reb Tarfon's din is even lachatchila? The Gemara says no, not necessarily, because what would he mean? D'eved demansiv like etza. It might mean that Reb Simloi would have told you zilgnoiv. Go steal something from somebody, the Izdaban the Eved Ivri, and then you're going to be sold as an Eved Ivri, and then as an Eved Ivri, you're going to legally be able to marry a Shifcha. Because we learned before in the Masechta that you can. So as far as the fact now, Rashi says, the Gemara could have asked at this point, okay, but it's an issue to steal. So still, if the point is, Reb Simloi is saying, I could have found a way for you that's completely mutter, then how would it help to tell him to steal? Okay, Rashi says that, look, the Gemara is going to anyway give a better question, that there was no such thing as an Eved Ivri by Reb Simloi's times. But different other Mephoshim talk about maybe you could find ways in which it would be mutter. Maybe you prearrange with somebody that you're going to steal, but you're doing it with prearrangement with him, and therefore it's not considered stealing. There's other explanations. Agos Ma'arav Ranshburg brings over here a point that he also has to be married to a Jewish woman beforehand, we learned before, in order to have a Shifcha Knanis. So one thing he brings from the Taz, who says, when the Pasuk says, Im Adonav Yitin La'isha, that the master can give him a Shifcha Knanis, he learns that it means if the guy is already married, the master is allowed to even Bal Korchai. But if he's not married, then he's still allowed, but only Biritsoina, only the Eved has to agree to it.
Oh.
So that's how the Taz learns that even if he's not married, there is a possibility of him marrying a Shifcha Knanis, but it would have to be Biritsoina. The master can't force him for that. And there's a lot of other discussion. about there's a lot of other discussion about what the Gemara is saying over here. There's another possibility, maybe even if he was moicher atzma, we learned earlier in the Masechta, there were opinions that even if he sold himself as an eved, he'd be allowed in the shivcha knanis. So the point is, Reb Simloy is saying there would have been some other way of arranging this. So in fact, the Ritva says that that's why when the Gemara says zilgnoiv, he doesn't mean literally to steal. He just means, in other words, sell yourself as an eved ivri, which one of the ways that a person becomes an eved ivri is by stealing, and then you'd be allowed to marry a shifchat knanis. So therefore, that could show that maybe the tarfin zin is only b'dieved. If the guy becomes an eved ivri, however it is, then already lachatchila he's allowed in a shifchat knanis. But otherwise, it would only be b'dieved. If the mamzer marries a shifchat knanis, which he wasn't supposed to do because lo yakadosh, then his children will be tohur. However, the Gemara asks, you can't do that anyway. Was there such a thing as an Eved Ivri by Reb Simloy's times? The whole concept of Eved Ivri only applies when Yovel is Noyig. Now, the mainstream understanding is that there was Yovel only during most of the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, that once Shevet Reuven and God and Chatzi Shevet Menashe went in Golos, then there was no more Yovelus, with one exception during the times of Yeshayahu. We learned in Gittin that Tosfos had said over there, maybe they did observe Yovel during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, at least did Rabbanan. Maybe, in fact, we had enough members of all 12 Shvatim back in Eretz Yisrael for them to be chayiv in Yovel again. Be that as it may, Reb Simloy lived long after the Churban. So for sure, there's no Yovel in his times. Therefore, of necessity, we have to say what Reb Tarfon is saying is lachachila. And Reb Simloy is telling this guy, you wouldn't have had to do any isser to marry the shivcha. You could have married her lachachila, completely beheter, according to Reb Tarfon's heter, and your children would have been kosher. And he's saying, it's too bad I didn't know you beforehand to tell you to do that.
How can we marry beheter?
So that's the thing, because we say, even though there's an isser of loya kodesh and loya kadesha, that a Jew is not allowed to marry a shivcha or an eved marry a Jewish woman, but a mamzer is an exception. He's not in that category. So again, one way of understanding it is it isn't Isser Daraisa, but Reb Tarfon is saying there's an exception for mamzerim. Another way of understanding it is an Isser Dirabbanan, and the Chachamim waive that Isser for the sake of the mamzer being able to become Tohur. So therefore, so that shows Reb Tarfon is an Hatchila. Shmamina, that proves it. And Omer Reb Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Halacha k'Reb Tarfon. In fact, the Halacha is like Reb Tarfon, and therefore the mamzer is allowed to do that. So now we said before it won't work for a woman mamzer because it won't work for a mamzeres because if she marries an eved it doesn't help the children still follow her, but for a male mamzer this kind of thing helps. He could have a shivcha knanis, and he could have his own or somebody else's shivcha knanis have relations with her, have children, and the children are avodim, and then he can free them and they become yisraelim gemurim. The halacha is like Reb Tarfon, that then the status of mamzer is gone.
He had first freedom.
He has to first have relations with her while she's a shifcha.
Right.
Otherwise, if he frees her first, she becomes a bas yisrael. Then you're back to the problem of a mamzer marrying a bas yisrael, where they inherit the status of mamzeres. No, like this is what we do: is the child is considered an eved because we said before he inherits his mother's status. She's a shifcha, therefore he's an eved. Now, when he's freed, there's no mamzeres anymore because that was all he was an eved. Now again, the Mishnah had said Reb Eliezer says not. And we'll learn. So when we're at this, we may as well. Nobody's here yet anyway. We may as well finish up the parak. So Reb Eliezer Oymah Harizah Eved Mamzer. Reb Eliezer says it doesn't help. All you have is now you have an Eved who's also a Mamzer. So you haven't really gained anything.
So the son, you mean?
The son, yeah. So according to Reb Eliezer, now you have an Eved who's also a Mamzer, and if you free him, then he's a Ben Yisrael who's a Mamzer. So you haven't gained anything. Yeah. So Omer Reb Eliezer, my time at Reb Eliezer, do Omer Kro Loy, because the pasuk says. The yoda loy bonim. The pasuk says that she bears to him children. So the word to him means it's rather by a mamzer where we say gam derasino lo yove loy b'kal Hashem. The word loy there is extra. So we learn from that holachacha psuloy. You always go according to the one who's more posel. So it's true that a shivcha's children are considered avadim, but nevertheless he also has a relationship with his father, and therefore he still retains the status of a mamzer. So the Gemara says, "Rabbanan, what are the Chachamim answer to that? Hahu b'Yisrael shenasa mamzeres." That pasuk is talking about when Yisrael marries a mamzeres. Not we're talking about over here when an eved, when a shivcha marries a mamzer. And why do you need the pasuk to say? You would think that since the status of what shevet a person belongs to goes according to his father. So therefore, so you would think, therefore, that that in this case, where Yisrael marries Mamzeres, maybe also he should go exclusively according to the father. Also loy, okay. So the pasuk loy comes and tells us that no, this is an exception. When you have a Yisrael marries a ksheira, then sure, the child goes according to his father and he belongs to that sheva. But when Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, he's going to go according to his mother and be a mamzer. That we learn from this word loy. If a Yisrael marries a regular Bas Yisrael, then we say the child inherits his father's status. His father was from Shevet Reuven, he's from Shevet Reuven. His father was a Kohen, he's a Kohen, etc. But if a Yisrael marries a Mamzeres, the word loy, gam derasir, lo yavir loy, the Kal Hashem, is telling us that it follows her status, or rather it follows the posul between the two of them. Since she's the psula and he's the ksheira, then it follows her.
Which means a mamzer.
So therefore, he's a mamzer. So therefore, so the Chachamim say that's what you're learning from that word loy. Not like Rabbi Eliezer is saying that even if a mamzer marries a shifcha, you also go according to psula. There, Rabbi Eliezer. So what does Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He says, look, lav afa gab deksiv mishpachosim leves avosim also loy apke. Look, so what are you telling me, Chachamim? That it does say the mishpachosim leves avosim that a child's status follows his father, as far as what shevet he's from, but we also have the word loy that excludes it. Well, hochanami, the same thing when it comes to a mamzer and a shifcha. Afagab diksivo isha bivadea tia ladeneha. The posik says, yes, that we said before, the woman and her children belong to her master, meaning that they're considered avodim like her. Also loy abte. So Rabbi Eliezer says, nevertheless, you can say the word loy makes an exception to that. That if the father was a Yisrael, then yes, the children are considered exclusively hers, and they have no status from the father. But on the other hand, if the father is a mamzer, they're going to inherit his status of mamzerus, because the word loy by gam derasir lo yavi loy b'kal Hashem is going to tell us that.
If she's freed and she becomes a yid,
then so never mind she. If her child is freed and then becomes a yid, Rabbi Eliezer says, nevertheless, he still has his father's status as a mamzer too. He's an eved mamzer, and if you free him, he becomes a ben chodin mamzer. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying, the same way as you chachamim agree that the mishpachosim leves avosim is not an absolute rule, you have the word loy by a mamzer that makes an exception to that. I'm saying the same thing by yishavi ladel tia ladel, that the word loy creates an exception to it.
And what is the exception?
The exception is that if a mamzer has relations with a shifcha, then the child retains the status of mamzerus.
Of the father,
yeah. V'rabbanon, so what are the
chachamim? This is when she's still a...
When she's still a shifcha, yeah. V'rabbanon, and the chachamim answer back to that. No, that's different, because kol vladim e shifcha knanis ki vladim e behemadami. When you have a child in the womb of a shifcha knanis, it's the equivalent of, we said before, yeah. Amadoim al-chamor. It's like an animal in its mother's womb. So therefore, it's not considered to have any yichus to its father at all. So you can't say, they say to Rabbi Yazi, you can't say that loy, that the word loy by the mamzer creates an exception to that, because this is different. When you're talking about a yid marrying a regular Jewish woman, or a yid marrying a mamzeres, then fine, you can talk about, look, they're not considered a behema, so therefore you can talk about the child having a relationship to the father. But when you're talking about a shifcha over here, given that it's considered a behema, then therefore you can't say that the word loy creates any exception to that. You have to say that no, the child exclusively follows his mother, has no relationship to his father at all, and therefore that, like Rabbi Taufan says in the Mishnah, the child would only be an Eved, no trace of Mamzerus, and as soon as you free him, then you're good. Hadron Alachorim.
This is the part where I was confused. What is the difference between a guy or an Eved? Because she was sold as an Eved, also there are about
no, so what we're saying is, here we're talking, so what we're saying is, the Shifcha Knanis, now what the Chachamim are saying ultimately is, a Shifcha Knanis, her children are considered exclusively hers. The father is not considered to have any relationship with these children at all. Therefore, even if the father was a Yid, and even if the father was a Mamzer, then they don't inherit any of his status. The same thing with a goita. We said if a Jewish man has relations with a goita, same thing. The child is exclusively a goy and is not considered to have any relationship with his father at all.
Ask what that changes that here, that of the behema, whereas we said by a goy that the status,
because we said a goy is not completely considered like a behema. A goy, after all, the difference is, because by an eved specifically we have the expression ama doimel chamor. By a goy we don't have that so much. When Avraham is addressing and saying shvulacham perim chamor, he's addressing Eliezer and maybe some other eved of his, as the Ritva says, And therefore he's saying to them, you am adam al chamor by a goy. We don't specifically find that concept. We have other psukim that we said before on some chesam and beis, how we know kiddushin aren't tofus with them and the child follows them. Now we do say to a certain extent in the sense that again, if a Jew has relations with a goita, so in our Mishnah, for example, Reb Typhon's din would work with a goita as well. The difference is that a mamzer is also to marry a goita. When it comes to a shivcha, we're saying there's an exception and he's allowed to marry her. But it is true that if a mamzer were to have relations with a goita, then he would have the same thing. The child is a goy, and it would be considered kivlad b'mei behemadami, and if that child now becomes a ger, then he would be considered a regular yid and not a mamzer. Reb Typhon is not mentioning that, because we said, Reb Typhon, the Gemara said, Reb Typhon wants to tell us a way that will be mutu l'chatchila, rather than a way that's only b'dieved, namely a mamzer marrying a goita. But it is true, it would work in that case as well. To that extent, we would say it's considered kivlad b'mei behemadami.
What makes a Ebed, he sells himself, right?
Well, there an Ebed Knani, no, it's not necessarily he sells himself. An Ebed Knani could be captured in war, he could be the son of a shivcha, he could be all kinds, he could be He voluntarily sells himself, doesn't really matter. As long as he's a goy, he's able to.
He's not a status goy, he makes him
an Ebed, because, well, yeah. No. The point is that he's chayiv in some mitzvahs because he accepted some mitzvahs on himself, but nevertheless, he still retains the status of a behemoth. Yeah, but so ultimately, we're saying this that we're saying over here in the Gemara, Vlad Behemadami, it will be true of a goita as well. It will be true of a goita and a shivcha. We're not mentioning a goita over here because, again, we want to find a way that the mamzer can do it in a way that's mutter, l'achila. But it is true, the same din would apply. If a Jew has relations with a, if a Jewish man has relations with a goyish woman, it is true the child is considered exclusively the mother's and is not considered the father's at all, based on the psukim that we said before. Okay, everyone.